Welcome back once again, everybody, to the Canon Book Club podcast. This read was a particularly interesting one. On the forum discussion, we've had lots of differing opinions on how they interpreted this route and how they felt about it. And so I'm feeling really positive that we're going to get some really interesting discussion for this particular episode. So I hope you enjoy it, and I hope it ends up meeting my expectations, I guess. So then, I'll be introducing the cast. So I'm your host, Aspiety. Joining me today, we have Pepe.
Aardvark.
And we also have the Rational Pie.
Koala.
And Kukit Siki Mir.
I'm going to go with Aardvark-chan.
Are you going to lock that in? Lock it in, Mir?
Yes.
And our special guest for this episode, Naoki Satan.
Ostrich-san.
Very good, guys.
All right. Anyway.
Naoki Satan was notable for joining us for the Cape route of the Clannad podcast. I almost said Tsunahara for some reason. We valued your contributions there enough to grab your bag, so yeah.
we also have Miyu, Kiketsuki Miyu, who was featured as in the Clannad After Story podcast, and it's been a few months since we've last had you on the podcast, yeah?
Yep. Hi.
Yeah,
nice to see you back again.
She's kind of been our backup for the podcast, but originally it was planned that either me or Pi wouldn't be here for this episode, but we both ended up here anyway, so I guess we decided to have her on anyway, so welcome back.
Yeah. The more the menier, as they say in the Philippines.
Do they really say that?
Yes, they say that.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. So then, guys, we have a route to talk about today. It's quite a long route. I believe, like, most of our forum discussion came the last 24 hours because everyone spent the entire week reading through it. I know a couple of our members actually didn't end up finishing on time. I finished, like, an hour before the podcast, so it's still very fresh in my mind, but, okay, let's start with our 30-second recap with Naoki Satan, if you wouldn't mind.
Yuichi's Guide to Raising Your Personal Sword-Wielding Demon Slayer Bunny Girl Delinquent Senpai Necromancer Girlfriend. Find a girl with superpowers. Play with her a lot. Give her bunny ears. Give her mom cancer. Forget her, then come back 10 years later. Feed her, make fun of her, dance with her, hit on her loaded best friend, help her fight demons by night and the student council by day. Send her best friend to the hospital. Give her bunny ears again. Watch her kill herself. Oh, you failed. Sayuri's Guide to Raising Brothers. Starve him. Oh, you failed.
Oh, holy shit. You said it wouldn't meet your other recap, but I think that might have topped it.
That was hilarious. Yeah. Like, in terms of funny points, that tops.
Naoki is the king of the 30-second recap. Or was it the 35-second recap? Either way.
Well, we're not strict about it anymore.
It was a 30-second recap for Mai, and then a 5-second recap for Sayuri. I think it's fair.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yep.
Sounds fair. considering the ratio of my route to Sayuri.
Oh, my goodness. I guess we're also going to be talking about the Sayuri route here. I should have mentioned that before, but it's kind of like a part of Mai's route, where you can only unlock it after you've completed Mai's route, and it's just a short little extra scene where you get Sayuri's backstory. But anyway,
go hand in hand.
Yeah, they do. I feel like they should have put it in Mai's route personally. I feel like putting it as a side route was like they didn't know what else to do.
Go hand in.
Mm-hmm. It kind of adds a lot. Yeah,
I rated this route a 4 because I feel like in terms of content, it's got some really interesting stuff going on, but I also feel like it might be a little bit too ambitious because there's just so many little stories going on this route. And they don't always gel as well as I would have hoped. And it sometimes feel like they were just throwing so many ideas into this one route that they can't really, like, they weren't really cohesive. And it's kind of like a big clusterfuck of ideas that could have been written together better. Just like Sayuri's mini route is just another example of this. It's like they didn't know where else to put it, so they just put it in a separate side route. And then you have stuff like the story with Mai's mum, where it's like, this was like really emotional, and it's like, oh, she got better, and that's just a side story. Now we'll get to the real point of the story. It's like, what was that? It's just weird stuff, like, in terms of pacing and sort of cramming these ideas into one route that I have problems with. But in terms of content, I really, really like this route, and I want to rate it higher, but it's just, like, in terms of design, it kind of left me desiring more. How did you rate it, Pepe?
I actually rated it a 3.
No.
And, my main basis of rating is if I thought it was good, I rated 4. If I thought it was great, I rated 5. If it's average and it's a 3, and I thought it was average. Putting your gripes with it together, because I do agree with your comments. I also agree with what Miu said in the forum about there being a lack of foreshadowing regarding, like, Mai's past with Yuichi and the whole demons being kind of connected to her. I think that definitely took away from the impact of finding out. So I think the way I can describe my feelings for this route is that it's very interesting. It brings up a lot of things worth talking about. It's just that it doesn't show it in a very good way. Like, it doesn't show it in a way that is very impactful to the reader, in my opinion. And that is why I rate it a 3. It's kind of the opposite of Makoto Root in that sense, in my opinion.
What about you, Nick?
Well, I mostly agree with Aspiety. I read it at a 4. I really wanted to give it a 5, but due to how badly the themes, the information, and most of all, the feels were handled, it's still a 4.
The feels, yeah.
It could have been much, yeah. It could have been much more emotional if the content was handled properly.
Me?
I rated it a 4. This was one of those instances where I think I really wish that there was like a 3.5, because I liked it better than the two other routes so far. But the writing really holds it back, unfortunately. I really feel like they needed a couple more drafts on this, kind of for all the reasons already stated. It almost feels like they had a breakthrough with the route kind of late in writing and threw it in at the end, and instead of trying to, basically they didn't have enough time to go back and put some of the good content at the end throughout the rest of it.
That sounds vaguely familiar with with one of Jun Maeda's more recent works, ahem.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about Canon's development cycle, but I would definitely believe you if you told me that, like, there were some points that were rushed towards the end of development, and definitely feel like this route would be an example of that. So what did you rate the route, Pi?
I'm going to come across as a really mean person, but I would give it a 2.
Wow.
Oh. I'm not alone.
So
I'm not alone in the low ratings.
So I really felt like it was a very ambitious route. And I think that if, you know, we would have seen it produced in, like, the era of Rewrite and some of the, you know, other later visual novels, that it would easily get a 4 or a 5 out of me. But the fact is that it was just really poorly paced. It wasn't just that it was long. It was long and full of a lot of crap. Like, there was a lot of dialogue that really didn't need to be there. I felt like it sort of dragged on in the middle, and then the end felt pretty rushed, and I also felt like there were a lot of sort of logical inconsistencies throughout it, as far as the way that people respond to Mai, the way that Mai reacts to things. I felt like there wasn't, I didn't get a really strong sense of what characters' motivations were. We were informed about, like, what the student council was going for, but at the same time it didn't really feel appropriate to their actions, and you know, we kind
Did
of got in
so?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, maybe somebody else can justify it to me, but I really kind of got the sense that if the student council really did feel the way that they did about, you know, Sayuri and Mai, that they would have probably taken a much harsher approach to everything. It seemed like, even though they were kind of the antagonists of the middle part of the route, I didn't think that they really stepped up. but
I mean, there was kind of a good reason why they didn't step up. It's because like Sayuri was kind of the silent leader of the rebellious part of the school. So the moment they did anything against Mai and by extension Sayuri, then the rebellious part of the school will go against the student council and it will destroy the whole harmony of the school.
Not only that, but there's also the fact of Sayuri's status as a person. Like, her father, like, runs a huge company, I believe it was.
No, he's part of the Diet.
He's a big political figure. My bad. Yeah, so, but they were hoping they could count on that influence as well. So, just generally having her on the student council is great for the school, not only in the present, but even in the future. It's a big deal. And, like, I feel like they were willing to fight for that at any cost, even if it meant keeping someone like Mai around.
Yeah,
I mean,
and if they do make her their enemy, like a real enemy, and she does everything she can to fight them, then they're screwed.
Yeah,
potentially. Yeah, I just sort of felt like, I mean, maybe that would have felt a little more fleshed out if they would have had better writing. At least to me. I mean, I can
a lot of things.
I can certainly see. I can certainly see where a lot of things have justifications and you can say, oh yeah, this is why, but they don't come through in the text itself. It's just kind of buried under a lot of nonsense. So, yeah, I give it a 2.
Okay.
That's all
kind of a divisive rating we have for this podcast, eh?
Yeah, I told you. There's lots of different opinions going on. Mia, right, are you back with us yet? So, I don't know if you want to talk much about the common route. I mean, like, the early half of the route, I should say. Because a lot of this ends up... Like Pai mentioned, there's lots of fluff going on for the early part of the route. It's just... We kind of get this daily life of going to school with Sayuri and Mai, and then fighting the demons at night. And this repeats a lot and a lot and a lot.
I have something to say about the common route, actually, in regards to Mai. Does anybody else think it's interesting that Mai is the only, like, heroine character that it's possible to completely miss in the common route?
It's quite interesting.
Can you miss Shiori?
No, you run into Shiori on day three with Ayu, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, okay. And she also comes to school at least once. Mm-hmm. You can avoid the rest, but you'll meet her at least once.
Okay. But you can go you can go through the entire common route and never even see Mai.
Yep.
I really do like that, though. It does hammer in this whole thing of, like, Mai's despair over never being able to see Yuichi again. It's kind of like fate itself is separating them in a way, but if you actually go out of your way to meet her, then, you know, you're able to overturn that. Otherwise, she just goes on living how she's always lived this whole time, you know?
I think the other thing about it is that you could go through Nayuki's route and you could, you know, potentially not see any of the quote-unquote magic within the world of, you know, canon. But if you run into Mai, you're immediately exposed to, oh, there's something else going on. You know, you've got this character who really doesn't fit within that sort of basic school life framework. And I actually really like that she is the only character who's sort of invisible. Like, every other character, at least on the surface level, seems normal. But Mai immediately sets the stage for things that are interesting and supernatural to happen.
Mm. She's like the secret girl.
Yeah, basically. It's like, oh, hey, did you know that when you know, if you go to the school at night, there's this other heroine that you can find? It's like, whoa!
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't think that has much bearing on, like, the story itself. I think it's really more of a game thing that fits her personality fairly well. Mm. Because she doesn't, you know, she doesn't, like, stand out and everything. It would be kind of awkward if you just bumped into Mai and Sayuri randomly in the hallway or whatever.
I mean, that literally happened in the anime and it wasn't awkward at all. That was literally the way they introduced Mai and Sayuri, is that he ran into them in the hallway.
I think it's cool that you don't, though. I like first meeting being at the school at night.
I actually have one other thing to say about this, but I'll bring it in at the end as far as the relationship to this sort of you can miss Mai completely. So don't include this part in, but I kind of want to talk at some point about what would happen if Mai had never, like, what happens in the cases where Mai and Yuichi never meet. So just something to think about for later, if you want to.
Yeah, I think it's worth talking about now. I think we'll end up forgetting it if we talk about it later.
Okay.
All right.
So considering that you actually can completely miss Mai, what do you guys think would happen in, like, all of the other routes to Mai where we don't see her? Like, does she end up still going to the ball? Does she just kind of continue to fight against these demons? I'm just wondering. I get the sense that Yuichi is sort of the impetus behind her story. Like, he's the spark that sort of sets it all off. And, you know, what do you think happens to Mai when you don't run into her?
I have an answer to that. I think that, and I'm going to repeat this line of thought many times during the podcast probably. I think that she will return to her daily life with Sayuri, and I think there's nothing wrong with that. I think she was perfectly satisfied with her daily life with Sayuri. She would definitely still be fighting the demons at night, maybe even after she graduated somehow, and that would cause complications in the long run.
I don't think anything would change. I mean, obviously she wouldn't meet Yuichi, so she'd never have the opportunity to, like, experience that character growth and stuff, but she would continue finding the demons. She would get to her birthday. Most likely, Sayuri would still do the whole thing to celebrate her birthday, get attacked, and then Mai goes crazy, and then she kills herself again. I have a very negative view, but I think we'd end up with the same sort of scenario either way.
I don't think Sayuri would necessarily show up at the school at night, and I don't think the demons would necessarily attack her. I really think Mai would just kind of continue to live in this state of not really fully being able to deal with the demons, but maybe even more healthily slowly process through some of the emotions she has just being with Sayuri.
I kind of feel like Mai is a ticking time bomb almost of emotional insecurity, and she's just like trying to stave it off for as long as she can.
So basically what I'm hearing is from Pepe, nothing would change. From Kyuketsu Mew, wow, sorry, your name is hard to pronounce.
You can just say Mew.
from Mew, I think that, you know, I'm hearing, because Yuichi doesn't set everything off, everything will end up resolving itself, but in a slower pace and maybe a healthier pace. And from Aspie, what I'm hearing is, it's going to happen at some point, and the fact that Yuichi is the one that sets it off is completely incidental. Something is going to happen.
Did you have any opinions about this, Naoki?
I basically agree with Pepe that the status quo will be preserved, that everything will go on rather uneventfully. Mai will fight demons, but nothing is going to happen because I think that Yuichi is the fuse that sets it all off. No Yuichi, no catastrophe.
Yeah, I think no Yuichi, then the demons wouldn't even attack Sayuri.
Makes you wonder. But yeah, I don't know. It's like, I guess we're kind of dancing around talking about the ending too much, but that's kind of what we're all, like, itching to talk about, I think.
The core of the route is basically the end.
Which is like, as we've addressed, kind of a fault of the writing that they kind of squeeze all of this content in the last day, basically. But, well, we got a podcast to talk about here, so let's dig deep and analyze this shit.
So where do we start
tackling this beast?
I think that probably the best way to start is just by going through a little bit of the early route. In this case, because Mai's route is so separate from the rest of the character routes, I think that that's why it feels so long, is that Mai kind of has her own common route that's kind of included, that's separate from everybody else's. So
that's true.
I have something I'd like to say about her quote-unquote common route, in that I quite like the message that they were trying to show in this common route, because one recurring theme is that Yuichi wanted to change Mai to make her more girly or make her more accepted. Or he even misunderstood like Mai's relationship with Sayuri at one point. And the message at the end was like, they have a good thing going, and you don't, like, just because their friendship doesn't work the way that you think friendships work doesn't mean it's not working.
I agree.
They're happy.
I agree that that felt like a big message of the common route, and even parts towards the end. But then I feel like at the actual ending, they went back on that message completely. And we're like, nope, I should have been a happy girl, feminine girl.
I was going to bring that up sooner or later, but thank you for bringing that up, because that is another reason why I rated it a 3 and not a 4. Because, like, by the ending, like, when she's wearing the bunny ears and saying, and Yuichi's telling her, oh, you can be a girl, oh, you can cry, it's fine. But, I mean, she already has a good thing going.
Well,
why try to change her personality? Okay.
The thing is, the way you describe it, Pepe, is that Mai has the option of being girly and weak and a crybaby.
I mean,
the way I see it is that she already is all that, and she will become only that if you take away the demon hunt from her. Because that is what I think what happened to her due to all the persecution she had to go through.
She was definitely a lot more of a cheerful person when she was a child, and sort of all the shit that happened to her ended up kind of forcing her to close off her heart in that sort of way.
But you can't deny that somewhere deep down there, Mai is definitely like that's her inner personality, if you will. And I'm sure that Sayuri is well aware that that's her inner personality because of how long they spent with each other. But even so, Mai shows her outside personality, her kind of stoic personality towards Sayuri, and they manage quite fine. Sayuri enjoys it. She likes that part about Mai, actually. That kind of goes into one point that I wanted to make, if I may segue. Do you think that Sayuri and Mai would have been friends had Mai not changed from having to fight the demons for the past 7 years? Like,
no, I don't.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Like, if Mai never got that kind of personality because of the demon hunt, then I don't think she would be friends with Sayuri. And it's kind of sad to think about that.
They are two people who are friends by their... Like, Sayuri pretty much says it outright as soon as they start talking about it with Yuichi. She's friends because they share the same burden. And, like, Yuichi's like, oh, what the hell is that about? And it's later revealed, as we read Sayuri's mini-route as well, that they both carry a similar burden of loss and regret and, you know, trying to deal with that. So it's basically a story of two broken people who find themselves in each other. Two people who can't accept themselves for who they are. And sort of their relationship is sort of a seesaw of sorts, where you can't take out one. If you take out one, the other is just left completely broken and miserable. They kind of got a weird balance going on where it's only sustained by their mutual, you know, sort of hopelessness. It's kind of dark.
Yeah. I wouldn't go that far to say as it's only sustained by their mutual unhappiness, but it starts from there.
Another way to look at it is to say that for both of the characters, they hold themselves personally responsible for the issues that they're dealing with. And yet, they can forgive other people. So they're incapable of forgiving themselves, but they're capable of forgiving someone else for the same thing. So, you know, Sayuri can't forgive herself for, you know, the relationship that she had with her brother. And, you know, Mai can't forgive herself for whatever it is that's creating these demons, or, you know, that that sense of rejection or whatever it is. And it's, I guess it sort of makes you feel better when you have somebody else who understands what it is that you feel you did wrong, and also understands that it's wrong, but is still willing to forgive you for it.
Mm-hmm. And that's a really nice friendship to have. Like, going back to what Mew said a while ago, before I segued, how like the ending was trying to kind of bring back that personality change in Mai. I don't think I want to see a world where Sayuri and Mai did not become friends. So I do not want to, you know, I don't want a reset that would bring back Mai's dormant personality and not make them friends.
Well, I say they would still be friends.
Oh? Oh? Okay, let's
hear
that.
But, however, they would be friends for completely different reasons and in a completely different way. Well, in this case, if Mai goes through with the demon hunting, then Sayuri will see herself in Mai and they will be friends. If she does not do the demon hunting, she will remain that weak crybaby, and then that would trigger Sayuri's motherly or sisterly instincts, and she will just start taking care of her.
Interesting.
The relationship like will be there, but it will be something completely different.
Yeah.
This is
my take.
This podcast has been very hypothetical so far. We're pretty much just creating our own canon.
Well, we don't have really clear information.
But yeah, I feel like it's interesting here that we're focusing so much on what ifs. Like, what if something was different? How would things turn out? What if, like, yeah. Basically, lots of hypotheticals. To take the reins back, I kind of want to go back to more analyzing what I've actually read instead of, like, creating our own sort of stories here.
Yeah.
Not to say this isn't valuable, but
I think that we got here because I think that the reason why we got here is because the ending is kind of vague as to what actually happens. So maybe we should talk about the ending right now, since you seem to be, you know, chomping at the bit to get to it.
Mm-hmm. But there is one thing I want to bring up. In particular, why do you think Mai rejects herself?
I think she rejects herself because she blames herself for all the bad things that happen. Like the whole persecution of her and her mother.
Yeah, I think that she rejects herself. I think that Mai rejects herself because she's internalized the rejection of others. Instead of saying, like, oh, I was rejected for others because of this power, she says, I am a person who deserves to be rejected, and therefore I will reject myself.
I think you hit the nail on the head.
I agree with Pai.
Yeah. But you could also, of course, like, make it more in the present how she's rejecting herself because of what happened to Sayuri, and how she's just causing trouble for the school, basically, and that kind of compounds on her rejecting herself. And then we have, like, Yuichi.
I think that part was what gave her the finishing blow.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. Yeah. Where that's what I kind of go back to. This is the sort of case where Mai's a ticking time bomb. It's just waiting for one little incident of Sayuri getting hurt for her to just flip her switch and, you know, do what she did. So, guys, why do you think she killed herself or stabbed herself at the very least?
Oh, now we get to the big
one. Wow, skipping right to it then.
You guys go first.
Well, I think, you know, at that point, the Mai that was there was too hurt to be able to really heal. So she ended up killing herself because she couldn't really... It couldn't end any other way for her.
Well, you said on the forum, you said that you believe, you interpret this to be like a way of Mai kind of recreating herself.
I don't think Mai knew she was, though. I think the power is ultimately what did the recreation. So, yeah, it ended up with her being recreated because I do think she gets revived with it. But I don't think the Mai who stabbed herself necessarily knew that the power was going to be able to kind of recreate her without that pain.
Okay, fair enough then. Pepe, what was your interpretation?
Well, I did post this on the forum, and I'm not going to change my interpretation. I think it's a lot simpler than what everyone thinks. I think that the reason why she stabbed herself is because she realized that she's the source of the demons, and she can no longer control the demons with their power, and thus the only way to finally stop the demons and to make the school a safe place for her and her friends and everyone else is to kill herself. She dies, nobody else gets hurt, and over the whole route, we've seen Mai as this girl who would sacrifice her own well-being for the sake of others. So I think that jives in fairly well.
Yeah, I do see that, and I don't know if there's a problem with the writing of the route or not, but there's just something weird about how this was all presented. We have, like, Yuichi having this sort of almost dialogue with the ghost, the demon, where the demon explains that she embodies Mai's hope. And then Yuichi turns to her and explains, like, you don't need to keep fighting anymore. We can stop this. You know, we can just return to our daily life because I'm here. You don't need to keep defending the school or anything. It's like, that all makes sense up to a point. And then it just turns on its head where Mai's just like, because I love you, I have to do this, and she stabs herself. It's just kind of weird how, like, why is that the only solution to the problem, is to kill herself? Why couldn't it be something more like just stepping away from it?
It's because of that line that I think of my answer, because, like, if you love them, why would you kill yourself even if you do love them? And I think, like, because she felt that she was a danger to them, that is why she would kill herself. Like, she doesn't want her love. She doesn't want the people she loves to get hurt anymore, like what happened to Sayuri.
They say that at that point, though, instead of the demon being in the shape of a demon, it's the little girl with the bunny ears.
Yeah.
Which is hope. So basically, Yuichi comes back to her with hope, and to me, her stabbing herself is rejecting the hope that he has brought.
But wasn't the whole point of the hope that it was hoping that he would return? And so if he's already returned, then you don't need that hope anymore?
It's just hope in general. It's just her, you know, emotion of hope that she's fighting against.
Maybe, like, all of the demons are supposed to represent different things, and hope was just the last one she was holding on to. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think... I honestly think you guys are overcomplicating things, and here is where I bring up Occam's razor, which is a tool in philosophy that states that when being approached by multiple solutions, the one that makes the least assumptions is probably the most correct ones. And, like, I think you guys are making assumptions here where the demons are representing some form of her emotional state, or, like, you're making the assumption that by killing herself she would renew her personality. And that is why I can't seem to agree with all the other theories I've seen, because they make too many assumptions.
But there's just so much information presented in this route that, like, I feel like it just kind of ignores it. And so it's not so much making assumptions as trying to explain what has been presented as information, as facts in the vision novel. Stuff like like the demon representing hope, for example, is like a big sort of contradiction to all of this.
Yeah, the demon represents hope. So what if the other demons don't represent something similar, then what the hell are they? Like,
and the fact that as she's killing the demon, she's becoming more physically hurt. I mean, they mentioned that throughout the battle, she's causing damage to herself by destroying these demons.
Does all of that, like, does the whole thing about hope necessarily have to do with the demon saying? It could be something that the author just wanted to put in.
The benefit of the doubt that they actually had a plan for this and that they wanted to make it cohesive.
Yeah, it seems like you're using Occam's razor not to get us to move towards something simpler, but to just not analyze, which I don't know if I can buy that use of it.
That's what I'm saying, basically, yeah.
I mean, there's still a lot of analysis to be made if you make less assumptions, I think.
I don't think we're making that many assumptions. I think we're just sort of trying to read in. I think we're just trying to extrapolate out from what we know into, you know, the other parts that are directly relevant.
Look, this... I'm the first to admit this route is kind of a clusterfuck. It's just... Yeah. There's just so much going on that, like... It's so many almost conflicting ideas. It's really hard to get a picture of what the author really wanted to say here. Maida! Anyway.
You're making the biggest assumption here. You're assuming that Maida isn't a hack.
Oh.
Pi, I really want to hear your interpretation of this whole thing that we haven't asked you yet.
My interpretation of... Oh, are you
Why
asking about...
Herself?
Are you asking about my interpretation that I posted on the forums, pretty much?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So basically, I sort of saw this entire route from sort of an allegorical perspective about self-harm and, you know, just sort of, you know, a few things regarding that, where you have these inner demons that represent Mai's emotions, basically, and she's fighting against them, and... Really, what she's doing is she's not only rejecting those emotions, but she's also hurting herself. I think it's interesting to note that the weapon that she uses is a blade, and a lot of people cut themselves as a way to, you know, kind of put down their own emotions to not feel things, is basically to hurt themselves.
Like Sayuri!
Exactly. And so, kind of going with that sort of allegorical perspective, then when... Mai sort of kills herself, it's not really at the end of this moment of reconciliation with Yuichi. Like, that's kind of a side thing. It's actually at the end of her sort of killing off every last emotion. She can't feel anything, and all that's left for her is basically just to kill herself.
Mm-hmm. That seems to be, like, the whole kind of feeling I got from the end of the route is just, like, you know, it was actually mentioned, if you don't pick the hate scene, there's the whole thing of Mai wants me to make her feel pain. That's just what she wants. She's seen Sayuri in this tremendous pain, and she just feels immense guilt, but also just a sort of self-destructive tendency there, where she wants to return to ruin, which is quite a dark theme to cover in a Key Vision novel, I think. I really wish they went further with the hate scene, because the hate scene is literally, oh, she just wants my dick. Which is fucking terrible. But if you don't pick the hate scene, you actually get some really insightful dialogue. So, yeah, don't pick the hate scene.
I think every H scene should be... I think the last choice before every H scene should just be ruin the story. Don't ruin the story.
Oh my god. That's so true. But anyway, going back to...
The choices can be do it with her or not act like a complete imbecile.
Yeah, exactly.
Which was an actual choice in this route.
That really should be. It's like they're calling out people that are reading this as a H game, almost. But I had a point.
With something else?
I had a point I was going to make.
Okay.
And I kind of lost my train
of thought. Naoki. I kind of wanted to ask Naoki what he thought about the whole stabbing herself, because I didn't hear him.
Well, I can only repeat what I've written in my post, namely that all that demon hunting makes Mai what she is right now, and that it's kind of giving her life a purpose.
Hmm.
So if she stops the demon hunting, she reverts to that weak crybaby that's kind of too weak to live in this world and mm-hmm. is just a burden to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like she doesn't want to be a burden to everyone. It's just she doesn't want to lose that part, that demon hunting that makes her strong.
But I really do feel like the not wanting to be a burden thing is quite a big motivator for Mai. I mean, it is mentioned right before the scene where she stabs herself, is that I don't want to be a burden to you. Are you sure it's fine? You know? And I don't think she can accept that she isn't a burden on people. I don't think that's something she actually came to terms with at the very end there, which is why she ended up stabbing herself. That's probably the main motivation I can think of. But really, from that whole ending scene, that whole last few days, I just see, like, Sayuri gets hurt, she's destroying everything in the school, and the one thing she tells Yuichi is, I'm going to end it. She's not talking about the demons. She's talking about ending her own life there. I can't see that any other way. I think Yuichi was the only one that was misinterpreting what was going on there until the very end, which is really tragic. But maybe there's a silver lining here in how the post-ending stabbing thing happened, because it gets pretty cryptic here. We get sort of like lots of what-ifs mixing in with reality. It's just like, what's real? What's a dream? And
it sort of irks me if Mai kills herself because she doesn't want to be a burden, because that goes against everything that the whole like first half of the route was trying to say about Mai and Sayuri's friendship being something that they value dearly. It's like, because if she took their friendship seriously, I don't think she would kill herself just to not be a burden.
But consider this.
Yes.
Consider the fact that Sayuri nearly got killed. Doesn't that kind of change change the game a bit? Like, that's kind of where it's reached the point where, okay, maybe she accepts me emotionally, but I might even kill her someday. That's kind of a pretty big deal.
Well, that goes back again to what I was saying about her motive being, instead of not wanting to be a burden, but not wanting to be a danger to everyone around her, and that's why she's killing herself to stop the demons from attacking.
So basically what you're saying is that she has a different response to the revelation than Yuichi does. Yuichi learns that these demons are coming from Mai and says, oh wow, these aren't things that you actually have to fight because they're coming from you. And Mai's response is instead like, oh shit, they're coming from me. I guess that means I have to kill myself because that's the only way this can end.
That's how I understood it, at least.
Interesting.
Although
it's like Mai never came to understand the true nature of the demons, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. If Yuichi was saying, oh, these demons are coming from you, and look, this one's hope. It's like she just sort of like heard the first half of that sentence and made her decision.
Yeah.
Sounds like something Mai would do, to be honest.
And there's the whole point of how she very much tries to disappear without Yuichi ever finding out what happened. Like, I almost feel like that was just, you know, I'm going to die and he's never going to find out sort of thing. It's suicide, man. That's rude. Oh my god, it's so dark.
I just had another thought while you guys were like mentioning about the demons representing Mai's emotions and her slowly killing off her emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps another reason why she stabs herself is because she doesn't want to destroy the last emotion, which is hope. She wants to keep that hope intact. And she'd rather die than see that hope destroyed.
Oh, I don't know.
That would have been a really quick decision then.
I don't know if that's right or not, but it's really cool. But actually,
I feel like it was demonized specifically because she wasn't able to accept it, so it's hard for me to think she wanted to keep it alive by stabbing herself.
I did find it odd that she went with stabbing herself instead of killing the demon. Like, she could have just finished it off. I don't know why stabbing herself was the solution there.
Well, Yuichi was kind of in the way. And she was very weakened.
She was she wasn't in good shape at that point either.
Considering her power and the reason why the demons are there, I wouldn't think that her slashing the demon would end it. I mean, at the end of the day, she's the only one controlling the demon. She's the only one putting that that constraint that I have to slash those demons to injure them. I have to stab them to kill them. at that point, like, the constraints can become as arbitrary as, like, she could stab the demons and they'll still be there because she's still clinging onto that hope that Yuichi will come defend her from the demons.
And really,
like the text kind of implies that she's at that point definitely aware that the demons and her are very connected too, so it might have just seemed the quicker way to destroy him at that point.
Like, at that point, would she even be able to control the way the demons work?
Well, I think she doesn't have any control anymore. Like, they yeah. are connected to her in the sense that she will die if they all die. But she can't really influence them a lot, because I think they separated from her when Yuichi left. The moment she created those demons in order to have something to fight against,
they
became something different.
Maybe she, like, because she thought that that was basically Yuichi rejecting her again, her last friend, all of her positive emotions split off and became the demons. So she,
And
now she slowly kills those positive emotions. She loses. She becomes more and more stoic.
But why is she killing the emotions? It's, I don't know.
That sort of comes back to, like, the what if she didn't run into Yuichi? She's apparently been fighting with these emotions for, like, the last 10 years, and you don't really get the impression that she's killed them off and any of them off in that time,
or even wounded them.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if it's just sort of like been at a standstill, and the fact that Yuichi shows up, this person who is so strongly connected to those emotions, if that sort of like, I guess you could see it one of two ways. Either it causes her to fight against those feelings much more fiercely to the point where she starts killing off her emotions, or the other way that you could see it is that because he shows up and makes her question that she was rejected in the first place, those emotions start to lose some amount of power over her and she's able to actually start defeating them.
Well, Miyu made the observation on the forum that you said that whenever there's sort of like Mike's letting her barriers down in front of Yuichi is when the demons appear. So like when he's feeding my food, or when they're playing Shiratori, for example, at the very end, that's when the demons appear. It's always there's always that accompaniment there. It's an interesting pattern.
Very interesting. That's very true. Huh.
Yeah. That made me feel like it was just another part of her being unable to accept the happy emotions.
But what's especially interesting is that Mai is fully aware of this fact. She uses Yuichi as bait to draw the demons out. Do you think the Shiratori game at the end was like an intentional gambit to get the demon to appear at the stairs?
I kind of thought so.
I wouldn't put it past her.
But then, like, to what degree is she aware of everything? It's just, that's what's really confusing here. How much does she actually know?
Going with a gut feeling, I think she just knows that the demons are connected to Yuichi, and maybe she even knows that Yuichi is the one from 10 years ago, but I don't think she's aware that she's the one controlling the demons subconsciously.
At least I don't think she really has any control at that point. That's why she's forced to fight them every night.
I think she's
like she genuinely believes that demons are there out to get her. She never for one second thinks that they are a manifestation of her powers.
Yeah.
I don't think she quite makes the connection about how they're tied to her, but I think she is able to realize that, you know, Yuichi's creates the scenarios where they're more likely to show up. She puts basic information together without putting it all together.
Yeah, she's smart, but not emotionally smart about herself.
So wrapping this up, we need to talk about the ending of the ending, which is the final epilogue. Now, this is interesting because you can interpret this as a dream, as like, Mai really did kill herself, and this is all just a dream, and I don't know. But it really doesn't feel like they were going for that here. At least with Makoto's route, it was just a CG, so it didn't really like provide any sort of... It didn't feel real enough for me to say that, yes, this is like, she's actually back to life yet. It's just like, it could just be the mental image in his head. But here we have this very vivid scene of graduation of Mai and Soyuri, and it just really didn't strike me as a dream to me. I guess one interpretation I can sort of agree with is that Mai's power here, perhaps what we see now as the embodiment of hope, is what ends up restoring Mai's life after she tries to take it away. It's kind of like she may be trying to reject herself and like feeling like she's a burden to everybody and trying to separate herself from everybody, but then Hope is coming in saying, "My, please, just settle down a bit. It's all going to be okay. I'm going to disappear so you won't kill anyone, and then you can just have your happy ending." It's kind of what I'm getting from this. That's kind of like how we have this really, like, it's very happy sort of scene where the text is scrolling and how the Hope spirit is talking about whatever it's talking about.
By the way, we are having a live audience voting initiated by Helios Alpha. Live audience, type 0 in voice chat for Dream and 1 for reality.
I think it was reality as well, especially because the kind of dream sequence that they had before it was further in the future, and then Yuichi's all like, if there is any reason I can, like, return to this world, it must be for a continuation of the dream, and then they continue as if time had continued before the dream sequence that happened immediately before,
That's true. Just in terms of, like, composition, it makes more sense then that it wouldn't be a dream. Yeah, it's just returning to this happy dream. It's, yeah, getting a bit of a split. Magaska's saying that it's a dream. What do you think?
All right, so,
Nick, what do you think?
I really want it to be reality, but the text at the end of the... Yeah, I'll call it a dream. At the end of the dream, those lines.
I quoted that. If at the end of the dream there is something that would make me feel brave enough to return to reality, it would be a new beginning for that innocent young girl.
Yeah, and those lines convinced me that it has to be a dream.
Kind of.
See, those exact lines make me feel like it has to be a reality, because my thought is that Yuichi would never basically return from that moment unless there was a reality where Mai existed again.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Magaska, it's not like we just want to kill the characters. Not kill the characters. I was an advocate that Makoto died in her route. I'll have you know.
I thought Makoto died in her route as well, although seeing the, like, what felt like what they called the miracle in Naoyuki's route, and then having Makoto die in her route, and then walking away from Mai's route thinking that the miracle again occurred, makes me wonder if I was supposed to think that Makoto came back, because miracles is kind of popping up a lot at the end of these.
Mm-hmm. It's possible, but I don't know. I definitely feel like the themes of Mai's route continue on better and wrapped up better if she does survive this incident. I don't think her killing herself answers anything. I think that'll just be like a big punch in the face to anybody who has invested this route in what I was trying to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I've interpreted it. What do you think, Pai?
I think that there's a good reason for them to basically have the time skip there, is that it makes it so that the miracle doesn't necessarily have to be that she, like, miraculously is healed and everything is okay. It can just be that, like, she didn't die right there. Like, you know, it could be just enough to kind of carry her through. So I would say that it's reality, and that,
like, she was in hospital for a while. Yeah.
That's basically the way.
Well, it's not like a miracle is required, because as we know, Mai's actual power is to bring back dead people, as she did with her mom.
Do you want to talk about her power? Because I have a very crazy theory about that.
Okay, is it based in anything substantial?
No.
Oh.
Alright.
I still want to hear it.
It's okay, my theory that Mai is telekinetic? Yeah. She can move stuff with her brain. And so that explains the demons and how they're, like, thrashing the school, and how she can, like, stop and pick up Yuichi through the demons. That also kind of implies that she never really resurrected her mom. Like, she's just controlling her mom like a puppet.
That's creepy.
Wait, whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
It is whoa. Very creepy. I have no basis on that.
Whoa.
Wait, what the hell? So
that's
So a dead body is waiting for her at home, and nobody finds out?
Does that mean she can also control to the point that doesn't decompose on her? Oh, wow.
Jesus Christ. Let's not.
I told you it was a crazy theory.
What happened to Occam's razor?
What the fuck happened?
Let's bring that one back.
There's a reason why
you put us that in the ridiculous theories topic, okay, Pepe? We have a topic for that.
Is that why it's always at Sayuri's house?
Ridiculous theory.
I mean, I'm sure you can work in some sort of interpretation where you're working rewrites magic into the world of canon, but have fun with that, forum members. I expect a post there very soon.
I haven't given my answer as to whether I think it's a dream or reality yet.
Okay.
I'm gonna be so wrong with this. Because, to be honest, for the past 48 hours after I read The Root, I could not decide. I simply couldn't decide. So I read the whole, final scene again a few hours ago, and, I think one line that stood to me when Yuichi was talking to Hope was that she says that I will return to you the time that you spent, or she has this discussion with Yuichi, and Yuichi says that I won't leave you anymore. So the only decision that my mind can come up with is that Hope kind of makes this alternate reality where Yuichi never leaves Mai. Okay. And I think that graduation is part of that alternate reality, whereas in the actual reality, maybe Mai actually dies.
It's a bit far-fetched, but it's not out of the realm of possibility considering the kind of writing Maeda has done in his career. This is a thing I've seen before. But yeah, I think it was someone else on the forum. I don't know if was it you, Miu, who kind of subscribed to this thought?
Well, I definitely think it's a part of the current reality, if maybe for no other reason than I think if you create a new reality where Yuichi didn't leave, you kind of invalidate almost everything that happens on the route. That's really depressing in a whole different way.
Time travel, yeah.
I think that basically Hope is able to create it where the pain, the Mai that experienced the pain of those 10 years is... So basically it healed a lot of the suffering she went through.
Yeah.
So I think it's still logical, a part of the same timeline.
A more rational explanation, yeah. But I won't discount that theory. I mean, it is crazy, but it's just crazy enough that I think Maeda could do it. There is a little bit of evidence.
Another fragment.
You could interpret that way.
One thing that also makes me think that's probably not the case is that the Mai you see at graduation is still very similar to the Mai we spent time with in the route. It doesn't
that
feel like a
true.
Mai who went through a totally different...
That is true, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's definitely one of the more wild theories, but I won't discount it entirely, basically. Mm-hmm. I personally think she survived the accident, and that sort of Hope power is kind of what enabled her to get through it. Where, mm-hmm. you know, that sort of demon sort of sacrificed itself almost to save Mai is kind of the interpretation I'm going with here. But you know what? I think we can all agree that this route wasn't written very well, and that the fact that all of these conflicting sort of info dumps that all kind of makes it really hard to form a valid interpretation, it's not good.
Yeah.
As much as I enjoy it from an analysis perspective, and making theories is really fun, and you know, engaging with you guys, I love it.
Oh yes.
But you really could make things a little bit clearer and less self-contradictory, because there's just so much evidence which conflicts with each other, and there's no real sense of what the main theme of this route is. It's just Yuichi's interpretation of Mai is completely different from another interpretation where she might be suicidal, because Yuichi doesn't think about that at all, but there is definitely evidence for it, and there's all the themes about, like, accepting yourself, rejecting yourself, and it's just a lot of stuff to process, and I think we've done a pretty good job in the hour with that, but yeah.
It's not a good route, but it's a good discussion topic.
It's just too much. We can't form a, you know, any sort of solid, you know, decisive agreement on what this route is really about, because it's just so much going on. And so I think the route has to lose points from me for that alone. But, hell, I've had fun talking about it. What about you guys?
Yeah, for sure.
It was definitely something that provided definitely for discussion.
So, next route is probably going to be quite a bit more mundane. We're going to Shiori's route. Yeah, we're going to have Biscuit Dough from all of our other podcasts joining us once again for this route. And together with another forum guest, Nashes. It's going to be a lot of fun. I've been really looking forward to this route ever since the book club was announced, because Shiori best girl. That's just my opinion thrown out there. But no, this route is going to have some pretty emotional content. So be prepared. Bring a box of tissues. I hope it doesn't disappoint.
Better be my
I wouldn't say you'd need tissues unless you generally enjoy the H scenes, but okay.
God damn it, Pepe.
So just tying it back, we have fan art for this podcast. Yay! So Shiro021 from the forum has posted some fan art of Makoto, which I guess should have been last week, but yeah, better late than never. I'll chuck that on there. It's just some hand-drawn sketches that are really nice to look at, so thank you very much for those. We also have pretty much the one person who's been carrying the fan art of this book club, Black Hayate, has produced another sketch for Mai, and this time the subtitle is Dance, I believe it was. She's doing like these portraits for all of the different characters, and they all look really good, so thank you so much for your contributions, Black Hayate. And we also had Takafumi join in at the last second for some photoshopping he's done. Yeah, we have a little sneak peek of the sprite he's been working on for his little, I guess, redrawn canon sprites. And we also have another little drawing he did of Mai falling flat on her face for some reason.
Why? Because why not?
Why not? Yeah, so a bit more fan art than most other weeks so far, so definitely enjoying this. Keep up the trend, guys. Next week we have Shiori, so I'm really hoping for some fan art of Shiori and Kaori. Come on, guys, don't let us down. We need this. We know this fan art for the anthology. And yeah, so looking forward to it. And we also, just a quick note, shout out to our forum members for the discussion of this route: Sanji Sonata, Aizen Kobu, Kuketsu Kimiu, Pepe, and the Rational Pie. You've all produced awesome discussion. Oh, yeah, and Canon too. He just got in the very last second. I'll add him to the list. Yeah, so thank you, guys. It's been amazing. Thanks for joining us, everybody, and we'll see you next week for Shiori's Route. Ah-ha-ha!
Bye-bye!
Ha-ha!
Ha-ha-ha! Ha-ha-ha!